Since its founding, the city of St. Cloud has been perpetually evolving. As time goes by, the older businesses and social centers shift and give way to newer, fancier, and more innovative locations. But what happens to those spaces that are left behind by the public as they find new forms of entertainment elsewhere? Sometimes they're demolished for new buildings. But sometimes, some historic buildings get sectioned off for other purposes. And then parts of those buildings are just plain forgotten. Well, in today's news feature, as part of KVSC's legacy-funded Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we're going to be visiting with a business owner who has taken one of these forgotten spaces and turned it into an inviting and stimulating environment where history and art are not only celebrated, but they're also made permanent. This is Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News, and today we go down to the basement of the Old Spaniel Hotel and visit with Ryan Shep about Cream City Tattoo and the unique preservation that he's done for this historic part of downtown St. Cloud. So Ryan, how about you introduce yourself and tell us how you came about getting into this space?
My name is Ryan Shep. I moved to St. Cloud 6 years ago, and I moved here for another tattoo shop originally. Loved it in Milwaukee, but just kind of came here to try something new. Milwaukee was kind of draining at the time. Economy was down and just needed a change. Moved here for a different tattoo shop. Worked there for about 5.5 years. And eventually, you know, I've been tattooing for about 13 years now. So I just kind of felt it was time to spread my wings and kind of open my own endeavor. I wanted to branch out into different art aspects that the other shop wasn't willing to provide anymore. So kind of tried to find a place that was going to accommodate my playground of life, meaning I'm into a lot of different stuff, like magic and juggling and unicycling and all kinds of different like performance arts and stuff like that too. So I wanted a space that could actually handle all of it.
And this definitely is kind of a space that can handle a lot.
Yeah. I first found this place, it was in a Craigslist ad, and it was super bare in here. They had just renovated it, and the city was telling everybody that they couldn't move down here because of handicap access and all that stuff. So it was really weird. I eventually started to look at other strip mall locations that were super expensive and wasn't anywhere close to the downtown scene where I wanted to be. I wanted to be part of the downtown art crawl real bad. And just all those other spaces started to fall through. So I definitely talked to the property manager here and got in the space because the Craigslist ad was really intimidating because it was huge and really open and bare. And I was like, oh man, I got to go down there and see it and see what the space is like. Maybe it looks smaller in person, you know? And I got down here and it was bigger than the picture looked. And then I needed to get to the drawing board and devise a plan to make the space usable.
You've done some research on this space, and you've actually got quite a few photos and some stories of, yep, of what went on. So how did you go about researching that and putting that together?
I've always been a super huge fan of the Stearns County History Museum. I think I'm one of the last people that I know of that frequent the place. I try to go every other month or so and see what's going on. And I knew they had the research facility there to start digging. So I figured I'd go there and you know, get some of the ladies to help me dig through the files. And, you know, I sat in there one morning and next thing you know, I got 8 different folders of pictures and stuff landed on my lap and going through all the old bowling photos and trying to research what the place even looked like. And then I came across all these photos of like the people that ran the place, the building upstairs. There's photos of the soda fountain and what the cafe looked like upstairs. And I definitely yanked some good photos of the old bowling alley down here. So I definitely plan on enlarging some of those photos and getting them in frames so that people can see what this place really looked like.
Well, let's have a quick description about what this space is. I mean, what it was, because, you know, we are in the basement of this building.
Yep.
And it was one thing and we can get to what you've done with it.
Yep. So. Yeah, describing it over the radio is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
it's in the basement of the Old Spaniel Hotel, which is downtown St. Cloud, pretty much right in front of Herberger's front door. And it was an old hotel with 50-some rooms upstairs. And the basement was the recreational, they called it the rec hotel for recreation. And it was a bowling alley down here. And I am directly underneath the Big Brother, Big Sister program upstairs. And their unit was originally designed as like a soda fountain because it was built in Prohibition in 1925. So there was no bar. They couldn't accommodate a bar. So there was like soda fountain and cafe upstairs. And down here was the bowling alley, which once I tell people it was a bowling alley, you can kind of see it because it's such a long unit. It's definitely overly rectangular. The unit's over 100 feet long, I believe.
Well, it's a bowling alley. It is rather long and open. But now you've done something kind of innovative with that open space. It's still relatively open, but it's sectioned off into a variety of different, I guess you call them rooms.
Yep.
Or studios.
When I saw the open design of it, I knew I couldn't use all the space. I originally didn't have the funding. I didn't have enough funding to put up lots of walls and floors and partitions. So I was really gonna chop it up to use only the front part. When you come down the stairs, there's a room right away that you kind of turn around the corner. And I was going to use that as my tattoo room and kind of figure out the rest as I went along. But I figured out a plan to lay out the floor plan and got another friend that was an investor to buy some building materials for me and kind of went and devised a floor plan where I could section it off and make it a little bit more usable. So I have a few tattoo rooms. I have a library room that is also like a consultation area. I built a saloon kind of speakeasy kind of waiting room instead of your typical tattoo shop waiting room. It's kind of like almost being at a bar without being at the bar. And then I sectioned the rear of the building off to be kind of a private art space, like gallery space for my own stuff and some local artists to show their stuff and be part of the art crawl and get everybody down here for that.
Yeah, that backspace, the gallery, I guess you could call it. It's I'd say it's just about as big as the tattoo space.
Yeah.
With certainly a good feng shui to the place. You know, you come in and you don't really. It's very inviting. It's large. You could manage an event here of some kind, you know, and you guys do have art nights down here as well. And yep. there is quite a lot of art, you know, the front part here, it feels very homey, old timey, if you will, with the yep. E. And then, you know, the backspace is full of art. Is that kind of like local artists, a combination or?
Right now it's local artists. It's actually still mainly set up from like the last art crawl. I haven't really changed too much of it. We're planning different gallery shows coming up for the winter time. So stuff will be changing back there. I kind of wanted it to be like ever changing too, because I don't want it to be stagnant. I want people to, you know, be able to know they could come down here at a different, you want maybe once a month or once every other month and see something different. And then with a specific show, you know, they'll definitely be able to see that. So you might have like an artist they can see up for about a month or month and a half, but then we'll have another gallery show that will come in and just like for 2 weeks be something totally different. And I'm going to try to get in touch with a lot of the tattoo artist friends that I have around the country and get some of their art in here so that it's not just St. Cloud local artists that everybody's seen at the art crawls for the last 5 years. So bring in some new stuff.
And it is always nice to have a mix, you know. It's like, well, this is what's happening in town. This is what's happening elsewhere. And it is a big, it's nice to show. It's almost comparing and contrasting what's going on here with everywhere else. So,
right.
How do you feel about preserving some of the history of a place? Or
I think it adds to the overall atmosphere of the place. Because when I was looking at the other units in strip malls, or I looked at three or four different units around town, but it was all newer buildings. There's no history in the buildings. It's like I knew people who were going to walk in and say like, oh, this was an old tanning salon, or, you know, here's the pizza place or whatever. I didn't want to be part of that, you know. And some of those places are super expensive. So I found this and realized it was part of like an old historic hotel and it wasn't just another office building, I tried to feed off of that and dug into the history of the place and it turns out it does have quite a cool history behind it being the hotel. And during Prohibition and stuff like that, there's stories of, you know, being able to get a speakeasy going upstairs where there were certain signs hung up, and that's when the locals knew how to come in for their moonshine. And, you know, it's cool. It kind of builds on that, especially with the Stearns County history being so in-depth with all the moonshine history and stuff like that. You know, I like to play on that a little bit. And apparently the hotel is haunted. We haven't really seen too much down here. Some speculations, but the rear of the building behind my gallery and upstairs, there's been some activity up there that we've been hearing a little bit about, which is kind of neat.
It's a well-lived-in building, mm-hmm. if you will. Yeah, yeah. That's something that, you know, to kind of revisit the Prohibition thing there, that is definitely something about Stearns County, the surrounding area, that, well, like when I say younger generation, I mean everybody who's still alive.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, some of those grand folks, great grand folks there, they were definitely involved with that. I see you've got a copy of Minnesota 13 up on the, yep. up on the bookshelf. And that is part of our history, you know, so
it's sad with that newer generation, like the, not only like the 18 to 25 year old kids, but even some of the people up to my age, I'm 35, that seems like they're not talking to their grandparents as much anymore, and all the stories are kind of laid to rest, and nobody's really paying attention to what happened other than what they did last week, you know? So I try to drag stories out of people here and there and see what I can find, and it's pretty amazing what you might be able to hear once you start digging into people's lives, you know? I'll talk to their grandparents where they don't talk to their grandparents.
Well, what kind of would you like to share a couple of those stories?
Even something pretty close to here, I guess. One of my friends that I met when I first moved here, his grandma used to date Al Capone when he came through town. So, I mean, you might see pictures of the guy in town, but apparently there's stories there. And who knows, maybe he was even down here with the hotel being a recreational hotel. There's who's to say he wasn't, you know? There was so much.
Where are you going to go bowling?
Yeah, exactly. There was so much, you know, gang activity. And one of my friends in town, too, lives on his parents live on the Sauk River. And apparently one of Al Capone's barns was over there before the house was built. So it's all the history is there. It's just we're choosing to forget about it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's like everybody pays attention to the latest meme on Facebook, mm-hmm. and then or the late, yeah. And it's, well, no, there's a deeper history. There's a deeper, stranger history, and it does seem that it's easy to forget.
Yeah, very it is, easy definitely. To forget.
How have your customers responded, I guess, to the dynamics down here? Because you've tattooed for a while. You've tattooed in various different places. So how is this space a little bit different?
It was a little scary at first because I've always worked in shops that you could seriously pull a car up next to and see into it. And I think for a lot of people, that might be a little bit reassuring. They can pull up right in front. They can look in the building. Okay, they're not that busy, or they are busy. Maybe we should go somewhere else. When you walk up to this place, you see the front door, and there's signage, and you got to walk downstairs right away. I'm hoping that it's not real intimidating to some people, but the big joke when we first opened was everybody who came down the stairs and turned the corner and saw the whole unit down here, even a little kid came down here, like 12 years old or 13 years old with his parents, and was like, holy, you know, and stopped in his tracks. It was pretty funny to see the reaction. Even the look on some people's faces when they came down the stairs to see the place, it's a look that I've never seen in a tattoo shop before, mm-hmm. because I didn't want it to look like a tattoo shop. I think that's super important. I don't want to cater to just the younger crowd that'll go anywhere. I want to get those older people that have ruled out getting a tattoo. I want to make sure every generation in the family is comfortable in here. Because I guess if I had to dwell on that a little bit, in this day and age, it's not that uncommon for, let's say, like an 18 or 19-year-old girl to come in here. She already brought her little sister with, so you got a 13-year-old sitting in here. They brought the mom with, so there's a 35 to 40-year-old woman in here, and they dragged grandma out of the house too. So now you have almost four generations of people that don't feel comfortable in most tattoo shops. Whereas down here, everybody's got a story to tell. You know, even the little girl thinks it's cool. I got, you know, all this decoration up. And the mom thinks it's cool, and the grandma remembers even some of the history of the place. You know, maybe she was one of the ones down here bowling. That actually happened during the art crawl. Older gentleman came down here, like an old white-haired guy, and was walking around, nodding his head at everything, and he's like, "You did real good with this place. I used to bowl down here." I'm like, "You did. That is so cool."
You're tuned to 88.1 FM, KVSC. And in today's news feature, as part of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we're visiting with Ryan Shep, owner of Cream City Tattoo, which is in the basement of the old Spaniel Hotel. What makes this particularly special is that Ryan has taken an innovative approach to respecting the history of what used to be in that basement. It was a bowling alley and a lively part of the community's social life, which is something that Ryan is trying to reestablish. Even as history as we know it is ever-changing at an exponential pace.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, how things change, you know. And a lot of times, you know, we're approximately about the same age, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, things have changed within our lifetime. Somebody has decided to develop something or do something with it. And then, you know, you just kind of look at it and you're like, really, this is the choice you thought was appropriate for this space, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I mean, obviously, this is not going to be a bowling alley ever again.
Yep.
And it, even before you came here, it wasn't going to be a bowling alley ever again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there is something to be said about making a positive use out of a space which is now obsolete in a way. No space is ever completely obsolete, but, well, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
And... yeah, I mean, to have, you know, art all over the place, and then, you know, well, the art gallery, I should say, and then, yeah, up here, this is a very comfortable spot for, well, anybody, mm-hmm. You know, and it is, I've been in a few tattoo shops myself, known some tattoo artists, and yeah, this is different,
you know, and it's funny you mentioned the word obsolete, because that's really what this place was when I first found it from the Craigslist ad, because... After it was a bowling alley in the recreational era, I'm not sure what it was between then and the fact that it was the Meyer Telecommunications down here. But after the telecommunicators left and that business moved out, they renovated it and it sat for like 5 years. They had problems with the city telling everybody that it wasn't handicap accessible and they don't want this business down here. They don't want that business down here. And they were telling everybody pretty much no. So the story that I heard is that the owners kind of went over and had a meeting with the city planners and, you know, asked them what the heck's going on, how come we can't rent this unit? And they said they would ease up a little bit on it. And that's when I came along with my idea to have a tattoo shop and an art gallery. And this is probably where I shouldn't poke the bear a little bit, but the city told me that it wouldn't be wise to have a tattoo the tattoo shop would have been okay, but no art gallery because there's no handicap access. Well, realistically, I don't have that many clients that are down here. I'm not like a clothing store or something like that. So, you know, some days we have a couple people, other days we have, you know, a few more people. It's not overwhelming when people are coming down the stairs. So if somebody needs to get down here, I can get them down here. So when I first moved in here, I just felt it was a blessing just within itself to even have somebody tell me the word yes. So I kind of ran with it. And I'm hoping that one day, you know, maybe even the mayor can come down here and see what they let me do and realize that I'm trying to upkeep the history in the town and the art in the town when some of the rest of downtown has kind of fallen to the wayside with vacant buildings.
Yeah, there have been some businesses that, you know, they closed down and those storefronts are still empty.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, well, and that is kind of a tricky thing, especially in St. Cloud, downtown St. Cloud, I mean. There are a variety of historic buildings that you just can't make them handicap accessible.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, like, well, for example, the Pioneer Place Theater. They're just structurally, there is, it's difficult.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they roll with it as best as they can, but there are certain things that they cannot do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's kind of one of those, you know, as time goes on, people realize the need for handicapped accessibility. But if a building was built 100 years before that realization, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, do you just tear it down or do you compensate for that somehow?
Yeah. I saw the blueprint of what I guess it was the Big Brother, Big Sisters upstairs had a blueprint drawn of, a way to devise a handicap elevator for the front of the location, but it was just too costly. And honestly, whether it's the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or anybody, nobody can really recoup that kind of cost of chopping up a historic hotel. You know, it's to get one or two wheelchairs down here at a time. It's just not feasible for anybody to recoup that.
Yeah, so it's not all St. Cloud history. It's just other history as well. Yeah. And, well, we could even tie into, you know, why do you think that, you know, preserving history is so important as well?
A lot of people ask how I came up with the name of the place even, because it doesn't make any sense to people who's here and see Granite City this and Granite City that. Every time you see a new business pop up, that's what they choose to name it. I chose Cream City Tattoo because 6 years ago I moved here from Milwaukee, and Milwaukee – and around the turn of the century, or in the late 1800s, was deemed the cream city because of all the extensive use of the cream-colored bricks that they were producing. So almost nothing in Milwaukee was made from red brick or anything like that. It was all cream-colored bricks, so that's why they named it Cream City. And the legend has it, I guess, that they shipped all those bricks all over the country to various places. Not sure how much of it was used in St. Cloud, but there's sure a lot of cream-colored brick buildings up here, you know. So wanted to bring a little bit of that history because I am constantly homesick. I do miss Milwaukee all the time. Can't always afford to go back with my schedule and stuff like that. So take a few trips here and there, and I just wanted to really make the place look like what I was used to back in the day. One of the other design attributes I had was growing up, going to the Milwaukee County Museum downtown Milwaukee has got an exhibit called The Streets of Old Milwaukee. And when you go into that exhibit, you can see all these little separate buildings and like walkways of what the streets used to look like way back in the old days of the settlers and stuff. You could walk to one building and see the Russian house and the Jewish house and the German house. And then they would have like the Schlitz Brewery had a bar in there, and you could peek in the windows and see everything still set up and all the decorations and mannequins posed in certain places. And it was the coolest thing in the world to me. And that's what I wanted this place to look like when I was done building it. Still not done decorating it. I don't know if I'll ever be done decorating, but that's what I wanted the place to look like, where you could walk to each individual room and see something different.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you got set up. You've got these rooms that, well, they kind of have the windows on. It's like you're looking into a small business or something.
Yeah.
Oh. So what kind of different motifs do you have down here then for the different rooms?
Well, right away when you walk down the stairs, there's going to be some merchandise. It's not all completely set up yet. You kind of walk around. What I was going to have is a body piercing room. That was going to be set up to be its own little business, but right now I don't have a body piercer on staff, so that whole little building up there is just kind of closed off for right now. Then you take a step down into the main area, and you have three different tattoo booths that are all going to be decorated differently, and those are each individual rooms. Another one of the rooms is the library room or the consultation room, where I felt it was pretty important to be able to offer a secluded space to go have a consult with a client, because not everybody wants to disclose to the public of what they want, or sometimes you just need to take an extra 5 or 10 minutes with somebody. So I wanted that option there too. And then just being able to walk into like the bar room setting is very handy too, because there's lots of seating for people. They can find different areas to sit and feel comfortable.
It almost kind of reminds me of, you know, if somebody's got like a basement rec room, you know, with a bar in their basement, and it's got that kind of feel. So very comfortable.
I definitely wanted it to get set up enough to have a small event down here too. And we've actually had a couple too, where it's worked out where a company came in and wanted to use it as almost like a small event center for the night. And they wanted to have some stuff in the gallery and put on their fundraiser, and they catered a little bit of food down here. And during those times, I got to not provide the body art services, which is fine, because, you know, it's like a mingle night for artists and stuff. And it was usually hosted at a different event center downtown here, and they decided to have it here instead. And it was kind of neat because it was the rec center at one point in time, and now it kind of can be again.
Yeah, totally. It's kind of like the space is reincarnating itself as its same thing, but a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah.
If you wanted to put in something about the Thursday night art nights, that would be
Okay, so the Thursday night art nights, is this a weekly thing, or can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's weekly. Originally, when I first opened it, I had plans of doing like a every third Friday of the month kind of artist gathering thing down here, and I didn't really know what to do with that. I was going to have like, you know, a little bar magic or something like that going on and just a mingle night for some artists, but then I started to see Visual Arts Minnesota had these sketchbook nights that I heard about, and started to attend those and meet some really fantastic people, and decided that I wanted to do something similar to that, but have a more permanent, more like weekly based kind of thing where everybody could come in and just hang out, because not too many artists want to just go hang out at other artists' homes. That's not always possible. You can't get 8 of your friends all together at somebody's apartment.
Yeah. Or their studio or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Not everybody wants to go to the bar to hang out and have a sketch meeting or something like that. So the sketchbooks are cool, but I wanted to do a little bit more permanent basis, the weekly thing, and also have enough space and area and acceptability to have people bring in their art supplies. You know, at some of the sketchbook nights, or, you know, some of my friends and I show up at the Veranda Lounge with our iPads and start sketching away. But you can't bring paint there. You can't bring a lot of things there. Where on Thursday nights, you can bring almost whatever you want in here.
Cool.
And every artist is welcome. It's not just artists. It's art connoisseurs or, you know, the minglers or people that just want to learn something or see something or just be a part of the art community got somewhere to come and hang out once a week.
Yeah, just a chance for somebody to participate in ever, however they feel is right with the creativity that's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You guys have like a website or anything like that?
Yeah, right now I'm just utilizing the creamcitytattoo.com website. I'm going to be making more of like a more personal art page later on this winter. I'll be working on my own art page. It'll be separate from the tattoo studio again.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
Well, right on. Well, thanks for talking with me today.
For sure.
And once again, on today's Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, we've been talking with Ryan Shep, owner of Cream City Tattoo, which is the new business which has taken over the old space, which was the bowling alley in the basement of the Spaniel Hotel in downtown St. Cloud. For more information on Cream City, visit their website at creamcitytattoo.com. You can find some of their arts events on aroundthecloud.org, and you can link to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the podcasts and untold stories link. For more information on the history of your particular building, as Ryan found out, the Stearns History Museum is an excellent resource for that kind of research. And you can find their business hours online as well as their contact information by visiting www.stearns-museum.org. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC Radio. And this report was made possible by a grant through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund as supported by the Legacy Amendment of 2008 and has been produced at KVSC. A proud member of AMPERS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities.